We're going to the game.
You know what? I don't want to play defense.
My hat.
Are you kidding me?
Game noon.
What the hell going on? You're playing it safe.
I'm
brick.
It's amazing. No way in hell I'm touching it.
Are you kidding? You, That was really fun.
Hello and welcome to the Sports Anomaly. I'm your host, Adrian Tadzaniga, joined by Mike Susick. Mike Susick, say hello.
Hello. It's good to hear from you.
Mike, good to hear from you. You were one of the Sports Anomaly. No, you were the fourth string podcast champions, right?
No, I did the last couple episodes of Sports Anomaly. I helped close up shop on there. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. I'm gonna let everybody know we're going to be profaning this episode because I'm going to get angry about some stuff. So it'll be tagged as such. But just so you know, put the headphones on the children. So you were on some of the last four. So you were, that sounds right. But I have no memory of anything.
That's fair.
So, and we're also joined. What actually, should we get a bio from you? I don't get bios from anyone.
Well, introduce our other guest first, and then we can.
All right, fine. I like to shut people out and then bring them in at the right time. But and also, we're joined by Jeff Solomon, one of the great all-time Madden leaguers that has ever been in our Madden leagues. Jeff, say hello.
Yak, yak, yak.
I can't believe, I mean, hopefully a yak attack comes on us at some point today. You don't want to ever be fake about a yak attack. You don't want to perfect Tommy it. You know, you want to make sure you slide into your own DMs and then do it right.
Into your own DMs? Do you have like a burner phone? Is this a KD situation where you're just yakking to yourself? If you're yakking to yourself, you really need to like practice that safely and have a spotter at all times. Just my opinion.
Mike, give us your updated bio. What have you been doing with your life?
I'm a dad now, so that's like number one among all things, fatherhood. Which is for you guys having known me years and years ago is probably fucking wild. But yeah, my daughter, she's 7 months old now and is like everything to me. So that's been kind of amazing.
Can I interrupt to ask, did you name her after Brian the Fragile Eagle Intihar or Greg
Clancy
Ford?
She didn't get named after either. No.
Is her name Brianna?
Is it Greg
Easta?
Nope, just Lucy. Just because it's an adorable name and she's adorable. So
it's a great name.
Named after his love of fumbles.
There's a little bit of that. Yeah.
Lucy.
Okay. I mean, other than that, I mean, I'm not full blown in video games like I used to be anymore. I do a little bit of this and that on the side, but I mean, I was at Joystick for a couple of years before AOL shut that up. And then I've been doing marketing for nonprofits and consulting for nonprofits and for video game publishers and stuff. So
that's dope. All right. I mean, I guess I should make it seem like you guys are on here for a relevant reason up top. So I should be the ones doing your bios, but I'm just asking what you've been up to because I'm curious. But and also, I'm terrible at doing this. Jeff Solomon, give us a quick bio.
Hey-o.
Don't go like 10 minutes like Susick did.
Sure. I mean, we've known each other so long. My first update would be that I graduated college.
Holy.
Way to go.
I've lived in Texas. I've lived in LA. I've worked in media and games. And now I am a talent manager at Tyrus.tv.
Oh, yeah. Check it out. Tyrus.tv. Are you crushing it to smithereens or balling out of control, would you say?
I would say I'm more balling out of control, especially since quarantine has started. There's a lot more bouncing off the walls out of control, and
I think you need to keep those balls
out the window.
That's what you need to do during these challenging times.
Yeah, that's something.
These unprecedented times.
Let's start with our hype and tripe, Mike Susick. I usually go first because I'm a piece of crap. Hype for you this week. What is it, Mike Susick?
Oh, it's 100%. It's the NBA coming back. I'm in the last couple of years, I've become a huge NBA fan, and for obvious reasons, because I'm a Bucks fan. So with the sudden onset of Giannis being Giannis, and just enjoying that team especially, but just enjoying basketball, it's been huge. And I don't know how I feel necessarily about the plan that they're putting in place, the NBA. as far as like the schedule with, you know, 22 teams and like the playoffs for starting, I think sometime in August, it just feels like we're taking a long way to get there, and that's going to push into next season and all of that. But, it's been really tough these last couple months without having any sports, and, or at least sports that I care about. So yeah, I'm really, really pumped about that. I just for a second there, I was worried that this season was going to end and this was the Bucks year to make an actual run at a championship. And that was about to be completely cut short. And now they have another shot. So I'm super hyped on that.
Yeah. You guys were almost the Montreal Expos, but it seems like it's going to come back. Do you play the NBA 2K games or do you not?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. I like
Them. Have you played NBA 2K20? Apparently, it's only $20 if you get it off Amazon. They're doing great.
I actually just recently bought 2K20, and I haven't been able to jump into it yet because I played 2K19 for a while and 2K18 before that. So, yeah, it's super good, though.
Real briefly, just so we can keep Jeff silent for no reason, the 2K18 career mode, which I'm going to dig into the NBA, but the career mode was where you're the GM. Do you remember
there's
that?
This is what's great about this series. They have like a franchise career mode for when you're a GM, and then you can do one for when you're a player. They're two separate modes, but they're two franchise / career modes.
Yeah, maybe I don't understand that, but I do understand that there's like whoever was paid to write the 10 billion words of text for the NBA 2K18 GM franchise mode. Man, that was a lot of typing and a lot of reading. Like whoever had to write it, that's one thing. But now we have to read it. Did you do the GM franchise mode?
I played some of it, and part of it was because that was among some of the work that I've done, which some of which is like NDA'd. Haha, people love when you mention that you had to sign NDAs. I did some work with NBA 2K, and it was for 2K18, and just some writing work and stuff. And I remember they were showing me what they do with their career mode stuff, and it is a that's what's crazy to me about the series is that you have two completely separate story franchise modes in the same game, and there are different teams working on them, and maybe there's a little crossover, which is a basketball pun, but it's a ton of stuff, and they're very different too. So I played the GM mode a little bit. Yeah.
Because I just basically, I was like, it's $5. I'm doing this podcast again. I need to catch up. And I've always liked the NBA 2K series. Mm-hmm. Do all the original GMs, are they all bad businessmen? Or do they have different storylines that kick it off? Because my guy
was something
just,
like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, I mean, I love that. And then I got the guy who wanted to hire his son. And yeah, I'll get into all this later. But that's, you know what, maybe I won't, maybe I just will keep promising. This seems like a great joke to me that I'll keep talking about how I'm going to get into all the NBA 2K story modes and that I just never will. And
you
I'll
need
just
to do
tease
the player
like
ones though. Those are the ones that have like the voice acting and cutscenes and all that stuff.
Isn't there one where you're a ghost or something?
Is there? Oh,
yes. No.
Like the movie The Sixth Man.
Okay, so it's not that you're a ghost.
That league that was like the 3-on-3 league that they did last year. Big
Wait, there is? I thought you were talking about Spike Lee's version where the dude gives like a 12-minute
monologue. I definitely was.
Oh my god.
No,
Spike Lee wrote like a ghost story about basketball for 2K something or other.
So I'm going to interrupt this podcast with a segment of my own.
Can't wait.
It's called Googling Big Three League.
Anything that keeps Jeff Solomon silent for as long as possible is now the new move.
The Gilbert Arenas Basketball League?
It was founded by Ice Cube. And so it's All-Stars, Hall of Famers, and all this other stuff. But there's this team in there that is, it's this ghost team. The Ghost Ballers. You guys need to look at, I'm going to drop this in the Skype chat real quick.
Can't wait.
Everybody needs to see the logo for the Ghost Ballers.
Oh man.
So one of my close friends and I, we were doing a bag toss tournament, and we took their logo and I changed the ball out for a bag so we could be the spooky baggers. And so anyways, maybe the Ghost Ballers were inspired by Spike Lee through 2K, because video games in real life always crash into each other.
Holy crap, this is a weird logo.
It's so good.
Oh, that is a
It's so good.
Ghost.
It's a goat, but like, I can't decide if it's better that the ghost is clearly like moving forward and it's like he's about to, you know, he's about
throw
to
throw up.
maybe throw up, but like a crossover or something. Like he's in the middle of a move. But I also think what I love the most is the headband. He's a ghost that's wearing a sweatband on his head. It's so good.
He's not messing around. All right. I guess we'll allow our other guests to talk this week. Jeff Solomon, what's your hype of the week?
Tua niga manu ole pola. Tangu wailua.
I did my best.
What was the...
Yeah, you're a Dolphins fan. This has got to be huge for you. You have a real quarterback.
I have lived my entire life without truly being excited about a Dolphins QB. My first season as a fan was the last year for Dan Marino. And his last game was also one of the worst of his career. Jay Fiedler was fun, but he wasn't exciting.
Fiedler.
Ryan Tannehill, even when we drafted him, everyone was like, okay, that might be a stretch.
The injuries that
don't know if this is going to work out.
For sure.
What's
that? It was the injuries that did him in more than anything else, right?
It's hard to know. I mean, he was a converted wide receiver in college. He barely played quarterback in college. And then when he came out, everyone's like, well, I mean, we'll give him the shot because we drafted him so high, but it was kind of we need a quarterback, so we're going to draft him, especially when you look back at that draft. I love looking back, and I hate looking back at old drafts and seeing who your team whiffed on.
It's the worst.
And, like, that Aaron Donald was, like, the very next pick or something every time you look at your bad picks.
Yeah. I just want to let you know, because this is coming up, that the TV pilot that we're finalizing to pitch, the Miami Dolphins draft of the main guy in the TV show, and then the league folds because of climate crisis, and that's it. That's a little cool little tidbit for you. So
I finally have something exciting.
So like, can we nickname Tua? So I mean, I feel like in classic Sports Anomaly fourth string fashion, we come up with like killer nicknames, and so I feel like nobody can say Tagovailoa or whatever it is, right? So
Tagovailoa,
is it? Okay, so I can't. And
yeah,
Tua,
I can't either.
Tua's
first
name.
When I said it before, I said it the way you
said
it.
So Tua's a fun first name, but like you need something with a little more punch. And I feel like we're tripping into like natural disaster settings, which works really well for us because we had the avalanche. And I feel like Tua should be like the tornado or like something like that. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, he's one letter rearranged away from tuna, which would fit very well with the Dolphins.
That's I mean, it all feels wrong and right. Here's what my love is.
Chicken of the sea.
Let's start calling Tua Chicken of the Sea. It's about time. I knew I had you guys on for a reason, mostly just you, Mike. But Jeff, you're also doing a great job in your way. So here's my love of the week. Konami released a UEFA Euro 2020 update and PES 2020. I have basically done the thing that a lazy person does as you grow up. You're just like, oh, those are the licenses. And FIFA's been a really solid game. But this is finally going to make me return to the glory of Pro Evolution Soccer, largely because I'm now recording a sports video game podcast and I feel obligated, but also because who has the time? Us, everybody. Now we get like an hour to 2 hours a day more where we're like, do I have to just stare into the abyss or should I do something with my time? So, and the fact that Euro 2020, I love European championships. That's what got me hooked into football when France scored to beat Italy very late. And I just was like, France is my team. Also, I have some French origins, not based on 23andMe, but based on what my family told me randomly. So that's fun. So I just I've lived in Paris for 19 months. My favorite part about living in Paris is that I lived there for 19 months. And when people asked, oh, how long did you live there? And I say 19 months, they're like, why don't you just say a year and a half? What is wrong with accuracy? That's the real great question, everyone.
You sound like one of those moms when they're like, oh, how's your baby? It's like 74 months.
I started this call by saying 7 months. So, I mean, what else am I supposed to do?
Well, when you're under a year, sure.
Sure, that's fair.
Real quick, before we move on, I'm going to ask each of you who you think who is going to win the UEFA 2020. But I just want to talk about the qualification round. I've got to look this up live.
I have to look at this too.
Oh, man, this is not going well.
No, this is fantastic. People love when they can hear your keyboard in the background. It brings them back to a time when they worked in the office.
Yeah, it's really nice. So playoff, that's what I want to look up. The playoff, this is people, you're seeing how the stuff gets made. The chicken of the sea gets made.
The chicken of the sea gets made. Yeah. This is how we can the tuna.
Keep talking about whatever you feel like, because I'm determined.
Well, there's two things that are coming to mind for me that you said earlier. First off, you need to get that abyss taken care of because I'm done staring at mine. But the second is the other thing you were talking about, Pez. Yeah, I feel like the past like 6, 7, 8 years, people have been saying this is the thing that's going to get me away from FIFA and onto Pro Evo. I don't buy it. I just don't buy it. I feel like at the end of the day, the licenses are everything. I know that Pez has been a smooth game for a long time, and I
thought you were talking about the candy. I'm like, Pez. Yeah, what nobody knows what you're talking about. I'm thinking flip top heads.
Do people not call it Pez? Do they? I mean, Pro Evo also, but maybe we should be talking about the candy instead.
Great question. If you got a sports based Pez dispenser of any athlete, Susick, would you do Aaron Rodgers, or who would you take?
I'm just gonna cram it full of tuna now. It's just a Pez dispenser that you lift up to a Tagovailoa's mouth,
and his neck pukes out tuna.
It's not even cooked. It hasn't been refrigerated properly. It's probably like salmonella.
Flies are circling it. So you want a Tua? You want a Tua tuna Pez dispenser? Jeff Sullivan, two is off the board. What are you doing with your Pez dispenser?
Wait, what?
Two is off the board. It's
like
been the first
Darth Vader, I guess.
Darth Vader Pez dispenser. Great athlete. He was a great athlete. Right-handed bat.
They sell a three-pack with Darth Vader, Chewbacca, and C-3PO.
Three great
as
athletes.
Your Pez dispensers. Did you ask about athletes?
Who knows?
Yes.
Who knows? Yes.
Where did
absolutely.
Star Wars come from?
I'm trying to give this some context. But, okay, so what position does C-3PO
I want a
play?
Jordan Love condom dispenser. There you go.
That's fair.
Jordan Love condom dispenser.
Great. Hold on. What position? This is great because we're not even going to get out of the first inning of this podcast before all of our devices die. Jeff Sullivan. What position and what sport does C-3PO play?
He would definitely be like a classic left fielder who can't move, but he can hit, so they just keep sticking him out there to get him in the lineup.
He feels like an Ichiro type to me. Jump in on this,
you
Sullivan.
He's got an arm.
I mean, jump in on this, Susick. He's got an arm. I don't know. What position and what sport would you think
He can't move. You see, it takes him forever to get anywhere. You have to lug him around at all times, but he can give you, like, mathematical precision. So I feel like the obvious answer for me is, like, golf or something along those lines where he's your caddy. And it's like, okay, I can kind of bring him along. He's in the cart or something. And then he'll be like, okay, this is how you want to hit it. It's like, I'll add it up for you or something. I don't know. Let's just get Phil Mickelson on the phone and ask. I don't know.
I like that you've taken him out of the game. He's not going to the game. He's a caddy. I don't even know what sports exist anymore because you don't see them. But I'm gonna make him a NASCAR driver just for fun. And boy, is he gonna wipe out in that first turn?
They had pod
right,
racing.
He moves. Well, they did.
You wouldn't even trust him for that. C-3PO is probably the worst character in the Star Wars universe.
Like, great.
I hate him more than Jar Jar Binks.
Oh,
there's
man.
Your hot cake.
Do you know the theory that Jar Jar Binks was the Shadow Menace and that he was going to be the ultimate of the
What's
whole
the
movie?
Shadow Menace.
Or the Phantom Menace. That he was the... nobody knows anything anymore. That he.
That wasn't even obscure. That was the title of the movie.
I know. It's pretty good. I've made it obscure in my mind because I don't want to watch it again. But you should read the fan theory that Jar Jar Binks was the ultimate Phantom Menace and that he was going to be like that he was this incredible Jedi. It's so well written and so well thought out. And then you go, yeah, that's the only reason they would have done it. But everybody hated him so much that George Lucas was like, crap. Oh, God. Let's make everything about Palpatine. Okay. Let's not talk about episode 9. I'll lose.
He's got a TV show now.
Jar Jar Binks does?
Yeah, the actor is the host of a children's show that's Star Wars themed that's coming out.
That's great. I'm so happy for him.
It's like Legends of the Hidden Temple, but Star Wars, and it's hosted by the guy who was Jar Jar
Binks. But he isn't Jar Jar Binks on the show, right?
No, okay. He's just a human being
doing
a normal
voice. Okay, well, you had to
specify
that.
Yeah, then I'm all for that.
I just meant it's great for him as a, like a redemption arc.
Chewbacca.
Shadow Menace fun time.
I'm going Chewbacca first. There's a lot of ways you can use Chewbacca in the sports world. I'm going to make him a tight end.
You didn't ask us who. You said C-3PO.
Go first.
You specified.
What are we talking about?
I'm having C-3PO be a NASCAR driver who wipes out on the first turn. You have C-3PO as a caddy, and you have him as a Pez dispenser. Wait. I don't even remember. Who cares? Moving on. Chewbacca, I'm taking a 6'10" tight end who is just awesome. What about you, Solomon? What are you doing with Chewbacca?
Well, we've all seen Teen Wolf, so I'd put him in the key, let him post up.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. So, okay. But the way you said that, of course you're going to have him in the key, but I saw him as, like, doing under-the-leg windmill dunks, which, so I think he could do it all.
Hell yeah.
He's like a Nowitzki.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Chewbacca would dominate in the paint.
I love it. Susick.
Yeah, I mean, he's for sure playing center on a basketball team. He's like a third Lopez brother. Like, they progressively get hairier.
No.
It goes from Brooke to Robin, and then it goes to Chewbacca, where he's just covered, you know?
I reject
it's like a,
the premise.
It's like a Pokemon evolution or something.
I agree with your premise. It's really sound, and I love what you've come up with. But you can't – it's like it's a draft, and so you can't take Chewbacca as also a basketball player. So you have to put him in a sport that's not a tight end at football, or football at all, I guess. I don't know why. Okay. I've just made up this new rule.
I don't know why. So I need to figure out where – I mean, I guess – can I put him in soccer as a goalie? Because
yeah, for sure.
He's got long limbs, and, you know, there's a chance he's going to be able to swat a ball out of there. Right?
Yeah, as he dives and, like, knocks it out. That'd be amazing. He'd be great. What team would he play for?
Oh, shit. I don't know. I'm not as big of a soccer fan these days.
Hey, remember 20 minutes ago when you asked us who would win UEFA?
I mean, yeah. The team of Chewbacca and C-3PO, several cans of tuna playing the left wing. just this huge, it's like on a red wagon that's being towed around by R2-D2.
This is fantastic. The old spirit of the podcast,
like a flash
is
game.
Back. Whoever hasn't funded our Patreon is like just dumping their pockets. They're like, yeah, there are a lot of good causes right now, but let me add $5 to this idiocy. Okay, path A. Do you have Bulgaria or Hungary, Mike Susick?
Hungary. Easy.
Jeff, do you have Iceland or Romania?
Romania.
So Romania versus Hungary. I'm going to say Romania, who will clearly win, will win. Okay, now I'll go first. Bosnia and Herzegovina versus Northern Ireland. I'm going to take Bosnia and Herzegovina mostly so one of you has to say it without looking at the words. Solomon, Slovakia or the Republic of Ireland?
Slovakia.
All right, interesting. We've kicked out the Irelands. It's a new day. Susick. Slovakia or Bosnia and Herzegovina?
Bosnia and Herzegovina. Bosnia and Herzegovina. I can't.
I love it.
I guess Slovakia has to win now because I can't say it.
But no, that's fine. I've been to Bosnia. It's extraordinary. The bread is next level.
Okay.
The bread is just bread?
The bread is just the bread.
Like you were almost going to accidentally say it was exceptional instead of just being bread.
Do you
go everywhere and rate the quality of their bread? Because most people eat other things and rate the quality of that. Of fucking bread, of all things.
You've got a Zagat guide of bread.
Turkish bread and Bosnian bread and Herzegovinian bread. Let's not dispel that. Those are the breads that would be competing for the UEFA 2020 bread off. Okay, Susick, Norway or Serbia?
I think just like a nice loaf of sourdough in this one is what I'm taking. So what were my options?
Norwegian bread or Serbian bread?
Oh, Serbian bread. It sounds like it would be slightly more exotic to me.
No, it would be...
Stale. I'm just guessing. You're the world traveler.
As somebody who's been to both these places and has eaten bread in both places, you don't want Serbian bread, probably. They're going to come at me pretty hard. We got a big Serbian contingent, or this will get us one, and they'll just like hate listen to us the way I hate watch Bill Maher. Jeff Solomon, Scotland or Israel? No, it's to me. Scotland or Israel? Man, Scotland's got a lot of promise, and I love Israel as a country. Let's go with Scotland. Well, do I love Israel as a country? Their leadership is the worst. I'm going to take Scotland because I'm going to take them on good faith of who's actually going to win. Solomon, is it Serbia or Scotland going on to the knockouts?
Netanyahu can suck my balls. I yield my time.
Fair enough. All right, moving on. Georgia versus Belarus. Jeff.
Georgia.
Great state. North Macedonia. North Macedonia or Kosovo? Susick.
Kosovo. I feel like Kosovo would be a great start for a name for your own bakery. You know,
like
I see a script that's like Kosovo Selects or something. You know?
Yeah. It's a great brand.
I need to criticize the American education system because I thought a lot of these were cities.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sitting
three
here like
of the teams you've named. I'm lucky that
you didn't call on me for Northern Ireland versus the Republic of Ireland, because I was about to get into some geopolitical argument over isn't that the same country? I don't know.
Yeah, we're gonna get into some serious EU stuff, and then that would have also spiraled. Unlike this, we haven't even gotten to the tripes of the week. We've got a huge show to talk about. I think Georgia is going to beat Kosovo, but I'm rooting for Kosovo, who I don't think will get past North Macedonia. All right, that's that segment. Moving on to the tripe of the week. So elegantly. Susick, what do you got?
Okay, this is going to be one of those meta ones. At first, I was going to talk about in these challenging and difficult times that everybody's been saying and how that's been really, really annoying. Right. But it's the fact that you're calling this hype or tripe, Todd. You're sitting here erasing our history. You know, you're not paying homage the best. Just call it love or hate.
Well,
everybody
Matthew
knows what it is. And what is a tripe? What is that? Is that some sort of synonym for something that's like a trivial?
I think it's a city.
It's probably a city.
America.
It's the city that they make chicken of the sea tuna. It's tripe USA. And I'm not going to be with that. So I gave you my hype. Fine. But it's love or hate. And I'm going to stick to love and hate. So my hate is that you're calling it hyper tripe.
Well, let me say this. Matthew Berry on ESPN totally stole our love and hate.
Yeah.
And that's why we, first of all, it's copyright infringement and breach of
fiduciary
duty.
Breach of fiduciariness. And so, yeah, I'm still waiting for the check so that they can buy us out of hype and tripe. So maybe you're right. Love and Hate's back. It's official. It took four episodes. What's your hate of the week, Jeff Sullivan?
My hate is baseball owners. Other league talking about coming back isn't negotiating about prorated salaries or any other bullshit. They're just bringing it back. They're paying their guys, and that's the end of the discussion. And on top of that, all the baseball owners just – well, not all of them. I don't have a list in front of me. But they cut all the minor leaguers as if – they are, bending over their barrel to scrape pennies together to pay these guys. They're freaking billionaires. You can spend $1 million to keep your minor leaguers with a paycheck. If you're gonna have a season at all and, lose, they say, $1 billion over the course of however many games, add $1 million per team to that and pay your minor leaguers. It's ridiculous.
It's totally ridiculous. I'm so mad at the MLB because they released a statement, like Tony Clark released a statement while the entire country was on fire. They're like, well, here's our position. I'm like, I don't give a – go away. Just figure it out. We have video games. We don't need you. And baseball is my favorite sport, and I love baseball. But actually, their whole thing reminded me that, like, without sports – America has had to look at itself. And so I'm kind of like, maybe we don't need any sports. Like, we all want sports because we want to be distracted from the fact that our country is on fire. But it's like,
I felt that too.
Yeah, I'm like, screw this. Like, we don't need sports. Right. So we don't need baseball coming in here and being dingbats. So I'm just like, figure it out. Quit making it a public thing where you're shaming.
Negotiating.
Yeah, quit negotiating.
Honor your contracts.
Yeah, honor your contracts. Billionaires are always like, oh man, it's like landlords who aren't lowering rent. They're like, well, it's hard for me too. Yeah, it really sucks for you. You were able to afford property. Get out of here. All right, here's my hate of the week. It's the Washington football team, who can go F themselves 1,000 ways to Sunday. On June 2nd, which was Blackout Tuesday, they posted an all-black photo to their Twitter feed, and the best response possible was from ex-NFL player Matthew A. Cherry. He's also an Oscar-winning writer and director. He won an Oscar for Hair Love the most recent Oscars, and a literary deathmatch champion, reading from his book, Hair Love. And he wrote, how about you start with blacking out your logo and change your team's racist nickname? That's how you can help combat racism. Look in the damn mirror. Totally. I feel like things right now, people are like, why do we have... Here's an example. There's a sign for in Maryland for Negro Mountain. How effed up is that? And the reason is because I can't remember the year. This is all in my novel. But
is it Spanish?
No. And so there,
that's not the,
okay. There was a slave who was like on not a safari, clearly, but he was with this group of people, and they got attacked, and this slave saved all these people's lives. And this slave was known as, was nicknamed either, I think, Colossus or Nemesis. And they named it Negro Mountain. So what the fuck are we doing? Like, no.
That would have been a great mountain name. Like Colossus or Nemesis Mountain.
Nemesis Mountain. It's pretty clear. So you'll see me on Twitter writing the congressman in that area and trying to shame them into doing the obvious right thing. But the Washington football team it's so dumb. Like, what is this argument? Why are we having this? The colors are incredible. Tie them to whatever the fuck you want.
I saw this a while ago. I was having a discussion with a Washington football fan, and we figured this out. You just change the name to the Pigskins. You can shorten it to the Skins. You keep all your colors, and you just change the
logo.
Great.
Fantastic. Put a stupid looking football on the side of them. No, make it cool. I don't care.
Have it be, no, I got it. You have a ghost that's carrying the football now.
Yeah.
There it is.
He's got no headband this time. He's wearing a helmet, you know.
He's wearing a helmet.
Oh my God.
CTE. Yeah.
It's like ghost in cleats.
It's so dumb. Okay, moving on. I ask everybody every week this. The Pokemon Go battles, butt sports. You get to pick three athletes from three different sports. Star Wars is off limits unless you want to do pod racers. So I'm just going to ask you each, Jeff Solomon, who are your three? Who you bring into your Pokemon Go battle, butt sports?
Okay, I'll start with Martin Brodeur, who we're talking about me suffering as a Dolphins fan. I got to live it up as a Devils fan as a kid, and no one has more credit due to him than Martin Brodeur, one of the greatest goalies of all time. We're going to ignore that one season with the St. Louis Blues and just remember him fondly as a lifelong Devil.
As a Blues fan, I'm going to help you forget that. Okay, so you got Martin Brodeur. Who else?
Oh, I go three in a
row?
Three
in a row.
Okay, I'll take Dan Marino, who, although I did not get to enjoy his time in the limelight, I have watched plenty of documentary footage to make me appreciate just how much I missed. And unfortunately, he never got that Super Bowl. He did get to play in one, but the rest of the team let him down. He did get to be an Ace Ventura, though, which I think is a better credit, frankly.
And he also, I don't know if you listened to last week's episode, but he actually called Mike Young to say, hey, I want to be in Long Shot. I don't know if you know that, but pretty cool. What a cool phone call to get.
From Ace Ventura to Long Shot.
I'm going
to
sneak in a Long Shot fact. There was some contract stuff going on. And then Steve Young almost played that role because Steve Young wanted to connect with his son. I feel like I'm not under NDA like Mike Susick.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Good. I love hearing about like big actors who want to do something for their grandkids.
That's so good.
They join the Masters of the Universe movie to play the Skull Monster.
Right. Yeah.
They're just like, I want my grandkids to see me, Frank Langella, in a movie, and they're not going to watch any of my movies.
It's great. Okay, so you got Brodeur, you've got whoever else you just said, Marino, and then
Dan Marino.
Who's your
Dan
third?
Marino. You didn't say Burrito.
Dan Burrito.
Dan Burrito.
He's also adopted a bunch of children, so he's a humanitarian.
That's awesome.
Maybe.
How about Air Bud? Sport athlete, can do it all.
Great call.
Never against the rules to let him play, and he dominates literally every sport.
Okay, Michael Vick, are you going to have this dog fight people? Is that what's happening?
If he did fight, he would win.
He would dunk all over.
Air Bud is the best.
Do you know about how many Air Bud movies there are?
Like, I think there's five mainline ones and then a bunch of, like, puppy buddies.
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad that you're calling them the mainline. Oh, you're like, if they're canon, the puppy ones are a little fractious with the community.
Back when I was at the Chive, we did a movie series for Air Bud where we did, like, Facebook Live watch-alongs.
Wow.
And while we were watching, I think it was Air Bud 3 World Pup, perhaps. One of the actors in the movie joined into the chat. We didn't invite them. They just like heard about it while we were live, and she jumped in, and we got her phone number. We called her, and it was great to hear all this like behind the scenes stuff about one of the Air Bud sequels from the female lead of the film.
I love that so much.
Also, that movie ends with Air Bud winning a shootout, and I got very mad because he was playing for the Women's World Cup team, and I was like, Air Bud's a boy. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, man. I like so. That. My fiance got me a shirt that said, nothing in the rules says a dog can't play, but it was women's sized, so it fit weird. And I was like, okay, so you just bought yourself a T-shirt for Christmas. That's great. Mike Susick, what's your trio, your Pokemon team?
It's so good. So I tried doing this from a perspective of current player, someone who's on their way out, and then an older athlete. So my first one off the top of my head is Giannis Antetokounmpo, just because he's my favorite basketball player. He's an incredible two-way player. I thought about this from a who's great on offense and on defense in their respective sports, you know, and I tried to get some toughness in there. And Giannis is amazing, and he's so young, and he's got his career ahead of him. So it was just an easy pick, right? So that was the first one off the bat. My second one, though, is Donald Cowboy Cerrone. Donald Cerrone is one of my favorite mixed martial artists. And he's
Cerrone.
Yeah.
He's a super tough dude. He's scrappy. If you get him in the octagon, he will stay with you all five rounds or all three rounds or whatever. And I'm going to read you this headline that I pulled from an ESPN article. I think this was earlier this year. Headbutted by a horse, disemboweled by an ATV. The painful stories behind Donald Cowboy Cerrone's injuries.
Oh, my God.
Dude takes headbutts from horses. And he's broken like 100 bones in his body or something.
The horse started it.
Yeah, the horse
might have started it. It doesn't matter because Cowboy Cerrone ends it. Dude is just, and he's one of the best MMA fighters who's never won a belt, at least in the UFC. So he's one of those guys that I would love to see that happen for him, but he's kind of on his way out, whatever. And then my third one is Ronnie Lott, who's probably one of my favorite football players of all time. And I wasn't even a huge 49ers fan, especially this era. I wasn't even alive at this point, but I've seen so many highlights of him and so much film of him playing, and he's just one of my favorite players. He had a finger amputated so he could keep playing. Like, that's one of his infamous stories. So I'm all about the toughness factor, and so I had to pick Cowboy Cerrone and Ronnie Lott to sort of help round out my team for whatever it is they're doing. I don't know if they're playing their sports or if they're just kicking ass, but either way, I feel comfortable with that.
I feel great about that. My team, because I always jump in for no reason to do this every week, but I got Coco Beware, just because I knew that you would be on this podcast, and I just think it's hilarious that that player exists. Then I've got Obafemi Martins, and the reason I put Obafemi Martins is he was a Nigerian football player, soccer player. He might still be.
Uh-oh.
So did you lose your entire track?
Just a little note to everybody, which I'll probably interrupt and say this anyway, but it said that my audio, it was an overload. There was too much awesome content.
Too much audio.
Yeah, too much audio on this. Yeah. So who knows what I've said last. But the final, after Obafemi, yeah, he was just so fast in FIFA, and he was like a bullet, and you could just, you know, play very fast striker ball with him. And my third, I'm going to take, let's see, I'm going to go with, hold on, I just looked it up, and then it just went away right as I looked it up. That's what the overload was. Damn it. So I was trying to find the name of Michael B. Jordan from Friday Night Lights. But I saw Landry Clark, which was Jesse Plemons' character. So I'm going to put him on my team. You know, sure, he's a soup can.
Lance. That's what Coach Taylor would call him. He never learned his name.
Oh.
Called him Lance.
That's hilarious. Yeah, he's great. All right, moving on. Breaking. Breaking news. Okay. The most, because the world's on fire, the breaking news here is that basically racism is being looked at, and people are going, oh shit, that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. So in response
America
to that, EA
was waiting for your description.
Yeah. People were like, wait, what's going
what?
On here? So I wanted to talk about the two statements that EA released and NBA 2, or I'm sorry, 2K released, and just talk through them, because I think it's interesting that people are making these statements. You know, the Washington Redskins made such a statement by just showing a black nothing, because that's, they're horrible.
Well, the NFL made their own total statement as well.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're going to get into that momentarily. So here's EA's statement. Tomorrow, we had committed to celebrating Madden NFL 21 with you, but we're not going to do that now. We stand with our African-American/Black community of friends, players, colleagues, and partners. Our immediate attention is on actions we can take to drive change against the unjust treatment and systemic bias that is plaguing the nation and our world. We'll find another time to talk football with you, because this is a bigger than the game, bigger than sports, and needs all of us to stand together and commit change. So first off, let's just say that's what they said. And then recently they released something else that basically said they're going to deal with toxic online communication and racism online.
I've already dealt with that. I don't wear a headset.
Yeah, that's like basically how you have to live in this world. And I just wanted to get your takes on that. What did you guys think of that statement? And or should I read the 2K one and then we can compare?
I think
and
you
want
to read the 2K one as well.
Yeah, let's do the 2K one, because I think it's interesting. This week, we muted our channel out of respect for what's going on in the world. We are increasing funding for our 2K Foundations program by an additional $1 million and expanding its mission to help fight racial injustice and inequalities in Black communities across the globe. Black Lives Matter. Okay, then I'll start. 2K wins and dunks all over EA's statement. EA's basically like, hey, we're going to talk about our game, but I guess we don't get to it. I'm being harsh. But they did the vague lack of commitment that pisses me off every time, where 2K's like, oh yeah, here's our mouth, here's $1 million, we're going to address this. And to me, I don't know, man, it's just I find it wild. And then you know, EA's like, we're gonna vaguely do better about not letting people be racist online, but they're not saying like, here's what's gonna happen. So I don't know.
They are promising to formulate a group to think of a plan at a later date.
Yeah. Susik, is this going to lose you any jobs if you speak out on this topic? I know that
not
everybody's probably never hiring me.
No,
on this,
not necessarily.
Yeah.
I think like more than anything, where 2K nailed it is that you need to be more actionable right now. I've seen other organizations, local and globally, that make statements that are just like, this is bad. We hear you. We're going to stay quiet right now. And right now, people are looking for something that does have an action behind it. And the other thing that I kind of want to say is, like, there's a lot of people who they'll see $100,000, $500,000 donated, $1 million, whatever it is. And it's easy for us to Google someone's net worth and just be like, that's pennies to them. But the impact those gifts have on real people is monumental. I mean, you can start whole programs for $100,000. You can do a lot of work with $10,000. I've seen it. So when someone donates $1 million, that's a big deal. The same goes for two, five, whatever. So when I see Jordan Brand doing $100 million, that is
fantastic.
It's over the moon incredible. I mean, and I've seen, you know, LeBron has done his school programs in the past, and other athletes have done this same thing. It's the billionaires we need to see more from, you know, because that's, again, we can tell with their net worth and all that. This is kind of a tangential thing. But when you see these huge companies where we play their games, we engage in their environments, they've done things in the past to be more accessible, from, you know, welcoming people with disabilities and helping them engage in their experiences better. You know, some companies like Microsoft are doing a much better job of that. But it's not just that from a diversity standpoint. Now, I've seen a couple years ago, I was doing a review for a Madden game. This is a long time ago. They've gotten better about this over the years. I was doing a co-review with, or not a co-review. I was just playing online. You know how you do with reviewers. You play online with other reviewers so you can get a sense of how things are working and stuff like that. And I remember him playing, and he's just like, I won't name him, but you might be able to figure it out. he's like, I can't create myself in this game. Like, as a coach, like, they don't have my skin tone. I mean, it's little things like that that the world has to catch up on. And so some of these companies that are making these experiences, they need to actively be working on that with representation, both in their products, but also the people working on their products, right? But right now, we need more. Not just EA saying, hey, wow. Right, guys? Wow. I mean, 2K blew
them out of
the
water. Can you guys believe this is happening?
It's crazy. Like, and with EA, they have outreach and community impact programs. They have stuff that they're doing. So when there's an organization that has a community foundation, that has philanthropic initiatives that they already do, why are you not leaning on that right now? Right. Why are you not showing this is what we're doing? This is how we're working with other corporate sponsors. This is how we're getting
worry.
Money.
I'm sure they'll have a film cut in a couple of weeks to showcase
and
every little detail.
And I know from the marketing side of it, that stuff is always slower than you want. But I want to believe that they will do something. So there should always be a caveat of these. Some of these teams, they just scramble to have a message when sometimes they're better off waiting and showing what they're doing instead of saying, we're going to do something, promise, you know?
Right. Well, what I think is interesting about this, and, you know, I think I'm kind of being rough on EA, but I shouldn't be that rough. Like, I just think NBA, or I keep saying NBA, but 2K won that easily because they, like we said, they were actionable. But what's interesting to me is effectively the front runner on the 2K world is an NBA game, predominantly black sport. And then the front runner for EA is Madden, which I'll have to look up the ethnic racial blend, but it's also that football has put their neck on the throats of protest, and the NBA has changed their owners, quote unquote, to governors. They do the obvious sensible thing because they understand, and EA supports, or their primary driver is a sport that just basically wants to be like, not even put their head in the sand, but kind of like, no, fuck you. Like, we're going to have CTE and deny it. We're going to, you know, if somebody wants to stand against the flag or kneel against the flag, has nothing to do with the flag. It never did. And so that's annoying.
Well,
so
it's in the game. It's in the game, even, not to borrow EA's tagline there, but in 2K, you know, people are doing their own protests and they can design Black Lives Matter shirts to wear. And in EA, in Madden, you can't even get a concussion in the game anymore because they're in
it's
such
dehydration,
denial that such an injury even exists.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's just so, it's sort of like a from the top thing in a way that you start to realize, like, oh, maybe like EA is a pretty low piece of this, that actually the NFL has a systemic issue and goes down.
Right.
And then,
and that's most
EA,
of it probably.
Yeah. And whereas the NBA, like the NBA, the number one tier of this, and the owners in the NBA are like, yeah, this is obviously messed up. So I think that's really interesting. Now Jeff, I don't know if you have anything to say specifically. I've sort of monopolized this.
I'd like to add that I think gamers as a whole are a bunch of babies, and all the comments on both of these posts were like, wah, how dare you delay your announcement by a week or whatever.
Ugh,
profoundly stupid.
My God.
It's gross, and frankly, the older I get, the more I hate gamers.
Right?
As a group. I know it's just the vocal minority, but boy, do they suck.
Yeah, they really, they're not impressive, guys.
You can wait a week and find out that the, you know, tackling animation is still disappointing. There's not going to be some huge announcement you're missing out on. Let's relax.
Well, it does speak to this idea of like, but I want it. I want it. Like, that's basically what we have seen America exposed as. It's just we're just a bunch of crybabies who are like, but I want it. I don't want to deal with climate change. I don't want to have to put my recycling in a second can. Everybody just quit. Quit being so bratty. Okay, here's my big pitch, and I want to talk to you guys about this because I'd love to get some perspectives about this. Here's what I think EA could do tomorrow, which I think would be electrifying, but I'm sure would come with a ton of backlash, but it'd be interesting. Why don't they tomorrow release Colin Kaepernick into the game?
I don't think they can.
I think
he's not in the Players Association anymore.
Right, but they could sign a contract with him. They have all kinds of old players and retired players. And
you can
stuff.
Sign yeah, a contract, true, separate true. Contract with him, yeah.
Here's my pitch is, like, go to him, say, hey, we're going to put $1 to $5 million towards your situation, like whatever you want us to. He has his own foundation. But say, we're going to do that, and then we're going to pay you to be in our game, and we want to announce this.
Here's my question. What would be more controversial, putting him in the game or putting him in the game as like a 73 overall?
That's very fair.
Which is, right. Where, it's totally which is fair. Where he was when he was last.
No, you would
the
do
game.
It. You would do it in right. Ultimate Team, right? I mean, it would be like an Ultimate Team card, and you'd have like gold one or whatever. You'd have a better rated version of him, you know, like a classic throwback
from his heyday
and stuff. Yeah,
from when he ran all over the Packers.
I don't. Yeah, I know that all too well. I don't know if the NFL would be cool with it, and I think that's one of the struggles that EA constantly has, is at the end of the day, you're always answering to your licensing partners.
Right.
And if they don't like something, you can't do it. And
they're,
they can shut.
They're the,
and they get
the
to do
Anthony
that.
Anthony Scaramucci.
Right. I mean, imagine if you're the NFL and you're talking strictly from a video game perspective, because everybody yells at them all the time anyways, and justifiably so. But I mean, you get to make a decision on what happens in this video game. Ultimately, they get the thumbs up and thumbs down. They get the veto on everything, right? And then EA gets the backlash for it, like 99% of the time. But the fact is whatever makes the game, you know, EA makes it, but the NFL has to say if it can be in there. So I think that EA seems to me like the kind of company that they would love to have Colin Kaepernick in the game. That's my hunch. I don't know anything. I'm sure that there are a lot of people working there right now that would love to see him in the game. But they don't get to make that decision. I think that that's ultimately going to be an NFL thing. And yeah, Jeff, you're right. He's not in the Players Association, so you could sign a separate contract, like you were saying, Todd. But I mean, even if you were to try and do that, they just re-upped their contract with the NFL like recently. So I'm sure that they don't want to jeopardize that right now. And that's like really underscores to me kind of like the disgusting truth of where we are right now, is that fewer and fewer people make decisions in what we see from a media standpoint, and that, you know, something can come across one person's desk in so many different realms, and you know, they get to decide what we see and what we don't see. And it's just been really difficult because I think more and more of this stuff needs to be seen and visible for people who would otherwise not be engaging in these topics. I know that's kind of a safe way of putting it, but it's the truth.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's yeah. Yeah,
sorry. I don't know if Colin Kaepernick is or isn't in the Players Association. I don't.
No, I think you're right. No, I remember hearing that, and we could be wrong, but that is my understanding of it too.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah, I just think it would be such a fascinating symbolic thing, but then we got to see a bunch of people go online and be like, "Well, I'm never buying this game again because I'm too tangled up in the flag to walk out the door to even buy it anyway or download it." But I think it would be an interesting symbol, and I that's my pitch to EA. Moving on!
Okay.
What?
I think he is still in it, actually.
I didn't know you were going to do a screaming moving on. I was going to say something, but that's okay.
No, say it. I'm moving on!
I think Kaepernick's kind of a flawed figure in that he hasn't sought as many opportunities as you've seen a lot of other out-of-the-NFL players. He never went to, you know, the Canadian Football League. He turned down some contract offers before he was really out of it, which is not to say that I don't think he was blacklisted by the NFL. Just that, you know, he had that thing last year in Atlanta where he said it was a big fake out, and so he didn't do the tryout. He did his own tryout. I don't know the details behind any of these situations. They all sound like either truth or any conspiracy could be true. But it just it's given a lot of like forum fodder to people who want him to fail, to say that he hasn't, you know, earned it. Mm-hmm. He played in the friggin' Super Bowl, guys. Like, you don't just fall off a cliff.
Right. Well, I mean, to me, he's a civil rights figure first and a football player second. So mm-hmm. I think what he did with the whole Atlanta thing, I think that was really interesting. And at first I was like, what the is he doing? And then I'm like, oh, no, he's doing what he's going to do. And I think, I find him fascinating. I'm a huge supporter of what he's done. And I think, I think he's somebody who is a flashpoint, but it also is kind of like, it's based on racism.
Yeah. I mean, he's also said some stuff to keep him out of. Like, he couldn't sign with Miami, even if they wanted him to, because of what he said about Cuba. like in the Cuban population. There's a half a dozen other quotes like that. They keep him out of certain teams, even if they wanted him in their markets. And I think that's something additional that makes him interesting to talk about in a forum kind of way.
Yeah.
But not in a let's look at the whole situation thing. Like Pete Carroll is saying, like, oh, he should definitely have a job. It's like, well, Pete Carroll, you're a GM.
Right.
Invite him to spring camp or whatever. Like, what is stopping you?
Yeah, that's a hilarious thing. Everybody's going to be like, well, I can't do the right thing because it's easier to not. Moving on! All right, we're getting to our feature segment. And the reason I brought you guys on was to talk about running a Madden online franchise. And I just wanted to talk about best practices. We've gone so long. I can tell when I'm done doing the podcast because I just get tired. But we're still going to plow through this because I want to open this conversation.
Todd holds a record button. The whole time.
Yeah, my wrist is so tired. Like, my hand is cramping. So I just wanted to talk about it because, Mike, you ran our league for what seems like forever. Jeff, you're basically now the de facto commissioner. It's so much work. So we can speak. Here's the question.
I did a couple seasons back then.
Yeah, you did back then too. Yeah, you did, Jeff.
Do you guys want to talk about this now or should we do it another week? And then we'll just come back and talk about it primarily. Because it feels
we should
like
do it another week, but also I have no confidence that we won't spend another hour on nonsense leading up to it.
And that's fair. That's fun. My scheduling is always really tricky, though, so I'll put that out there. So
I feel like we've got enough podcasts to stop, and I think we've been entertaining and fun, and that's all anybody cares about.
Okay.
So I'm going to say we don't do it.
Okay.
But I think. This. I'm going to table it, but I think maybe we keep this audio because how
hell yeah.
It's so
weird.
Stupid.
keep it in. And make sure everyone knows that we still have open spots in the current Madden League.
That's true. Okay, so the reason I brought you guys on was to talk about... Hold on, I'm going to clap. The reason I brought you guys on was to talk about running a Madden online franchise and best practices because you guys are incredible at it. But we've run too long, so we're just going to do that another time. How great is that? Because I forgot to mention at the top. Now I don't have to put anything in about it. Moving on to the Netflix Minute. What are you watching this week? What do you recommend people watch? Mike Susick.
Hold on. Let me quiet my dog down, and then I'll answer
No. Get the dog on the podcast.
I got my
Jeff's
dog right here.
Great. Everybody should
have
a dog.
Me and my dog last night watched Zodiac from 2007. Oh, wow. I saw it in 2007 and thought it was boring, but I was also a much younger man back then. I would recommend the film now as more of a slower paced enjoyment. But also The Last Kingdom on Netflix, one of my favorite shows. It's mid-budget sword and sandals type stuff, medieval, like
sword
the 1200s
and sandals.
Somewhere. But it's so repetitive and it's so much a show I love. I can't even describe really why. Also The Magicians, great stuff. And Mike's
wow.
Mike.
All right, Mike, let's see this dog.
He's kind of
Jeff
crazy
has
right
a wiener-style dog. Oh, man, what's that dog's name?
Mine is Vinny.
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 Yeah.
And what's your dog's name? It tried to bite me.
His name is Play-Doh.
Play-Doh, great. I don't have a dog. It's the great misery of my life. Mike, what have you watched this week? What would you recommend?
This week, I mean, I haven't really watched. My wife and I finally got started on The Last Dance. And so I've been watching some of that, a couple of episodes of that. Recently, I finally finished BoJack Horseman.
Good stuff.
Incredible.
I absolutely love that show. It's probably one of my favorites. It's definitely one of my favorite animated shows, if not, you know, any show. I love the way it ended. It was so good. I was sitting on that for the longest time, and so to finally get around to getting the last season, I finally pounded that out, and oh, it's so great. And The Last Dance is phenomenal. I mean, I know why everybody's been so hyped on it. And, you know, it's Jordan, so you know that you're going to be in for just incredible highlights and cool backstory for, you know, the behind-the-scenes sorts of stuff with him and with the Bulls team and everything. But I don't know. I mean, it's also I'm going to be, like, one of those kind of, like, sour people on things, but it's, like, it's Jordan. Like, a little played out, a little tired already. Like, I'm not enthused about watching the rest of it because I just feel like we blow this dude constantly, but then he also did the $100 million thing. So I feel like I'm compelled to finish watching it and like crown him the GOAT and like move on. Cause he is, but we also don't need to say it every other sentence. So
Yeah. I would say I've been watching Schitt's Creek, which is because my fiance loves it, and it's 22-minute episodes, so I sort of watch them while I'm doing other stuff and then hone in just enough. But it's very funny. It's good. It's Canadian, so, you know, support Canada.
I like that it's Eugene Levy's son who created it. When, like, people's kids also have talent that they can put out on their own.
Yeah, he's great. Daniel Levy, he's great. But if you want to get your, like, knees cut out from under you and just be totally devastated and feel like incredibly in touch with the horrificness of this moment, there's a film called Clemency, and it will just devastate you to no end. And I'm not gonna say anything more about it except that you should absolutely watch it. Moving on, Jeff, you sit in a sports game sports video game memory. We're not gonna put it on this episode, but we'll put it on a future episode. But if you have,
I sent it in, and then you had me as a guest. The worst timing.
I know, it's the worst. I should play it over all your audio. I just keep playing that, and people are like, what was he really saying? But if you have something heartfelt or hilarious in 120 seconds or less, email it to me, adriantoddzaniga@gmail.com is probably the best. I'm sure there's a sports anomaly email. Who cares? Moving on, final segment, the Patreon Power Hour. You can help support the show at patreon.com/sportsanomaly. Give us $5 if you can. I always will say this, but if you can't give money, I don't care. At least go look at the pictures for each tier at patreon.com/sportsanomaly. Mike Susick, have you seen the pictures?
I'm about to look right now that you're saying it.
Yeah, go look right now and give us an honest reaction, and we'll cut this podcast off in 30 seconds or less. But I just want to see your reaction to the photos.
What is it? Patreon.com/sportsanomaly? What is it?
Sports Anomaly.
Dead air.
That's fine.
Dead air.
Okay. okay. Heavy, yeah. Yeah. And the Fragile Eagle one is fantastic as well. Yeah. This is very good.
It's fantastic.
I'm very proud.
And if
you
give $25, like Perfect Tommy, we'll mention you once per show, ideally out of context as we have here. All right. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. We're going to have you back to talk Madden franchises, the sole purpose of having you on in the first place. But that's not the Sports Anomaly way.
Go Bulgaria.
What? Can I get one last thing in?
Oh yeah,
sure.
I'll bring it. It's a bit of a down note, but Sports Anomaly probably kickstarted my career in many ways. And one of my favorite things, thinking back to talking with you, Todd, and Greg Ford, and then the one person I really needed to make sure I made mention of is my guy Andrew Fitch. Unfortunately, in the past few years, he passed away due to cancer, and he's like a staying presence for me. I say some of the stuff he used to say all the time. We all have amazing memories of him, and Sports Anomaly and Four String wouldn't be the same without him. So I needed to do just one real quick on the side.
I do want to say, when I was trying to find out what our intro was for this, I went into our archive where I have every episode, and I randomly clicked on one, and it was him actually recording from Panera Bread or something. That's where the whole bread factory came from.
Yeah.
And like, we ended up giving games loaves for how good they were.
Yes.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, I can't believe of all the random episodes I could have clicked on. I mean, those episodes and what he brought to them, it's
gold.
Just, it's heartbreaking, because there would be nothing greater than to have him on an episode. He's a very unique and brilliant man.
Right.
He had the number one pick in the Star Wars draft, right?
I believe he did.
And then he took a punter.
and one of the things I've loved listening to the revived Sports Anomaly, Todd, is that you have not been able to get audio right ever. And I feel like it's the spirit of Andrew Fitch coming through, just because over the course of any conversation with him, it would start great and it would gradually get worse and worse to the point where you can't hear him, completely broken out, deteriorated. It was bread factory audio. And I feel there's always a piece of him lingering around, and I needed to make sure that I gave a little love to him. So,
yeah, no, I appreciate it. All right. Go Bulgaria. We'll talk to you next week, or, you know, in 9 days. It seems like we're in a pretty loose schedule over here. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Ba, 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 ba,
oh, shit.
Ba,
I hung ba, up ba. On you guys.
Oh, okay. He's like a movie where you just hang up. You don't say goodbye.
Ha, ha, ha.